We're told that the Green Bank Telescope is a marvel of modern radio astronomy, massive, sensitive, and tucked away in one of the quietest places in America, in Green Bank, West Virginia, inside the National Radio Quiet Zone, a 13,000-square-mile area where radio transmissions are heavily restricted to prevent interference. It's the world's largest fully steerable radio telescope with a 328-foot diameter dish and a 2.3-acre collecting area. Its unblocked aperture and active surface give it exceptional sensitivity, making it ideal for studying faint signals from deep space. The Green Bank Telescope is a key player in the Breakthrough Listen initiative, scanning the skies for radio signals that could originate from intelligent extraterrestrial sources. The Green Bank Observatory likes to say that this telescope isn't just listening to the stars, it's decoding the whispers of the universe. That we learn from greenbankobservatory.org. The Green Bank Observatory, with its ears to the sky, is just one example of the quest by humans to listen for, hoping to listen to, sounds and signals from intelligent life in the universe. There's a bit of irony in the fact that we're living in a world where, even when we're actually in the same room with each other, we don't really seem to listen. Certainly, there's a whole lot of talking going on, but not so much deep listening. And that's something we need to take into consideration. Deep listening to what is really being expressed by and to one another. PA Heart and Soul is a community development project where listening is a key, and the initiative has had a significant impact across the Commonwealth, so much so that Governor Josh Shapiro issued the following proclamation in May. Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Proclamation by the Governor. Whereas PA Heart and Soul is a statewide initiative by PA Humanities based on Community Heart and Soul, a nationwide four-phase resident-driven process that engages the entire population of a town in identifying what they love most about their community, what future they want for it, and how to achieve it. And whereas PA Heart and Soul utilizes the unique Community Heart and Soul process that centers resident leadership and experiences and is based on three powerful principles: involve everyone, focus on what matters most, and play the long game. And whereas PA Heart and Soul, through this process, helps Pennsylvania municipalities move toward a brighter, more prosperous future by bringing community residents closer together. And whereas this program transforms communities through initiatives such as creating new community spaces, energizing downtown areas, honoring history and culture, and more. Whereas 53 cities, townships, and boroughs have participated in this process in the Commonwealth, brought to Pennsylvania by a unique and powerful partnership among PA Humanities, Community Heart and Soul, the Department of Community and Economic Development, the PA Route 6 Alliance, and the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. Therefore, I, Josh Shapiro, Governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, do hereby proclaim May 13th, 2025, as Community Heart and Soul Day. There will be a community-wide celebration in Carbondale on September 4th, marking the tremendous fruits of the Heart and Soul experience there, and we're all invited. The arts have been a key aspect, not only in memorializing the project, but inspiring the community to continue the work ahead. Michelle Bannon, who is the mayor of Carbondale, paid a visit to the WVIA studios with Gus Fahey, president of Valley in Motion, and Todd Polsley, director of community development at NeighborWorks, Northeastern Pennsylvania. And they were eager to talk about PA Heart and Soul and its connection through PA Humanities to individual lives and the community at large. Mayor Bannon began with some history.
This is my favorite subject to talk about, is the city of Carbondale. It's my love. So the city of Carbondale was the first million-dollar corporation in the United States. The D&H Railroad found its roots in Carbondale, and it was at the cusp of the Industrial Revolution. So that's a really big icon for us. We're a big icon for the United States for that. In addition to that, we're the pioneer city because we're the first city. We're older than Scranton. We are one of the oldest cities, the fourth oldest in the state of Pennsylvania. So that's where we got our name, the Pioneer City. We were booming back in the 1800s and 1900s. That's where a lot of our population flourished and grew through the coal industry. And then as the years progressed, as coal started to decline, people moved out, things shifted and changed. And we're right now at the cusp of changing over, reinventing ourselves and having a great time doing it. I often say that we're a piece of coal that's been squeezed so hard, we're turning into a diamond.
And I saw images of you on television with models of historic buildings. What are those?
They're in City Hall. They were donated to the city by a lovely gentleman who bought them years ago. They're of the old roundhouse, which we had one of the largest roundhouses on the east coast of the United States of America. There's the viaduct, which was an iconic piece in Carbondale where you drove up. It was actually a metal bridge with grates to get over the railroad system to the west side of town. And that's our demarcation. The Italians were on the west side. The Irish were on the east side. And then we have some churches and we have a refinery there. So we're looking to put them out to help people remember how beautiful the city is and what we used to be here and how we're going to move forward together. You know, reach back to your past, but pull it forward into our future.
And I think that came across in the Our Town Carbondale program that Lisa Mazzarella and WVIA produced those years ago. She felt that there was such a powerful sense of belonging. And let's sweep the sidewalks and keep it clean and get Main Street up and running.
We're scrappy. And, you know, I'd have to say the spirit is very palpable. You can feel it. And for instance, I've been in office for 1 year, eight months and 7 days. I love every bit of it. So when I came into office, I brought with me a ton of partners, you know, through NeighborWorks Northeastern Pennsylvania, Valley in Motion, the YMCA, the library. Those partners came in with me. It wasn't me taking it office. It was us taking office. So when that happened, I was able to introduce all these new partners to our community, and they get so excited and they're so lit up by having people that are interested in having us grow and become who we are meant to be.
Now, Gus, partnership is probably a key concept for you in Valley in Motion, right?
It is, yeah. Building collaborations, building partnerships, that's really the way that we get all of our business done. I think of it, some of these problems that we have in our community or some of the issues, they are bigger than any one of us. So getting a bunch of people around the table that can share ideas and share resources, share those things that they're best at, and to go and do something that the community wants to do, that is the best way to get things done. Hannah Arendt has a quote from 1969, "Power is the act of working in concert with others." And so everybody gets on the same set of music. You can do incredible things, even if you're playing different instruments.
And Todd, what is your relationship to Gus and to Michelle?
Oh, man, I don't know if we have enough time for that. But yeah, so Michelle's been a longtime board member of NeighborWorks. So there's a connection between the city of Carbondale and NeighborWorks. She's been around and involved a lot longer than I have. And Gus, you know, we were just talking about partnerships, right? So Valley in Motion is a partner of NeighborWorks. We've partnered, you know, on various initiatives in Carbondale, outside of Carbondale. And, you know, I think we've found, you know, as Gus has, like, there's that power in collaboration, working together. And in the type of work that we do, community development work, improving communities, you can't do it alone. No person, no individual can do it by themselves, right? It really takes a team of people, a team of partner organizations. You know, and for organizations like NeighborWorks and Valley in Motion, we do different things. We do some similar things, you know, but I think we also have a lot of values and there's some commonalities in our missions where, you know, we can take an opportunity, you know, look at a community like Carbondale and say, hey, you know, there may be some challenges that they have that they need some help overcoming, but there's a lot of opportunity here. And if we can work together with the right partner and the right leader, you know, in the mayor here, we can get some good things done for the people who live here.
Talking with each other even over hard subjects, as long as there's respect and a sense of going toward some positive end. When you talk about getting around the table, Gus, that seems to have been key in, for example, what you're working on currently.
Yeah, all of our initiatives have a community engagement component to it. You got to hear where people are coming from. And you have to hear the challenges that they've got, but also their ideas for what's going to make the place a better place. So I've found in our community engagement, sometimes those people that are the most strident are also the ones that care the most. And sometimes they're also the ones that are independently trying to work on the problems on their own. So you really have to hear and bring into the conversation those that that care really a lot about your community. So for the Heart and Soul project that all three of us here at the table really collaborated on, we talked to many dozens of residents. We did long form interviews with 69 people. We did surveys of another couple hundred people. So we really took into account what the people of Carbondale wanted to do and to answer key questions about moving forward. What do you love about Carbondale? What are the values and experiences you want to pass on to the next generation? And then what would you do to make Carbondale better?
What answers surprised you? What did you think would come out that did?
I have to say a lot didn't surprise me. You know, Gus hit on it. It's being able to hear the bad things. They took me out of the equation during the interviews because people tend not to either tell me what I want to hear or tell me too much to be hurtful. And I got that. You know, people just want to be heard. And, you know, they did a great job of refining that information and getting to the core of what they were trying to say. So, and that's important to us, you know, and I have no problem looking at negative reviews or negative comments as long as they're founded. And that's exactly what you got to when you were asked the question, what do you love about Carbondale? They tell you that. But then inside of that, they'll tell you what they don't love, which is okay, because that's just somewhere for us to look in the future. But, I'd have to say a lot of fun things. I was excited about that. I was excited about how people love our events. You know, it gave us data to proliferate different things that we continue to do. They said that they love when we do events. You know, I always thought that one of our biggest event, Pioneer Nights in town, was dying. But when they said repeatedly over and over again, we love Pioneer Nights. So that validates what you're doing and it keeps you going in the right direction. And then it was the catalyst of creating the Carbondale Alien event.
It put you on the map.
And I say all the time, I'm one of the believers. I don't know what it was. It was not a lantern, though. And if it was an alien, it would explain a lot.
You all had the good sense to say, well, let's celebrate it. Let's make it an event. And it was really an event. And it was very popular, wasn't it?
And Eric, I have to say that when we did Heart and Soul, we were sitting around the table one night and we were talking about a tagline. And all of a sudden, you know, we were talking about our quirkiness because we are very quirky, scrappy and quirky. And I tend to embrace the quirky. And it's no mistake that I'm the leader of the year.
Well, you mentioned Heart and Soul a couple of times. What's the genesis of the Heart and Soul project? And what was the initiative for Carbondale? And how is it playing out?
So I think it was actually Gus who originally came across this Heart and Soul concept.
And I got it from Christine DeTore at Department of Conservation and Natural Resources.
There you go.
And then also we were an outdoor town community. They came in and did a study on all of our outdoor recreation and amenities. And that's what we noticed happened. We didn't have any plans. And then just serendipitously, we did our outdoor town plan through Christine DeTore, who then went to Gus with Heart and Soul, who went to Todd with Heart and Soul. So it all came together.
Yeah, and so, when Gus came to me and said, hey, here's this model. I wasn't familiar with it. I don't think you had any familiarity with it at the time. Looked at it and said, you know, let's find a community that this would be a good fit for. And I think we tossed around a few ideas and eventually landed on Carbondale, and you know, it ended up being just a perfect fit. But the model is a national model, so the Community Heart and Soul provides this model for engaging communities in identifying, you know, what's important to them and envisioning how they could change their community. And it's really designed for smaller towns and communities. I think Carbondale was a natural fit. It might not work quite as well in a city like Scranton, right, which is a little larger. But it's really focused on engaging people and doing it in a way that is a little different than it's typically done in communities. I'm a community development professional, right? So it's us. And, you know, often what happens when you're planning in a community, planning for the next 10 years or whatever, what do you see? You see a handful of public meetings. Maybe there's a survey, right? That's the input that they're getting from a community. Well, Heart and Soul says, no, that's not enough. And it's not necessarily the best way of doing it because not everybody wants to show up at a public meeting and speak their piece or even have the ability to, right? You know, maybe they have to work. They got to make dinner for their kids, whatever. Surveys too. How much information can you glean from a survey? So Heart and Soul says, okay, it's great that we do some of this, but let's also sit down one-on-one with people and just talk to them about their experiences, right? Make it super accessible. This isn't a room full of people. This is one person or a handful of people having a conversation. You know, they're not grilled with questions. Some questions, some things that we're trying to find out from them. But, you know, by and large, it's about listening to people. And, you know, I think what happens when you approach it that way is A, you end up with a different product. And B, the planning process itself becomes the product. And you get a lot of benefits from that. I've said before, you know, this the Heart and Soul work that we did ended in an action plan, you know, some steps that we could take, the community could take to improve Carbondale. But even if it didn't have that action plan, we would have accomplished a whole lot just by going through this process because, you know, you're making people realize that, hey, like, we can have a stake, you know, should have a stake in our community. We have a say. And the things that we're telling you, you know, you're going to listen to us and help make these a reality. It built a lot of community. It engaged new people, you know, who are now volunteering and doing things in the community in some different ways.
I would also say that the ideas, too, came from a different direction. Like when you described that initial public meeting, that's because either city leaders or developers or somebody came to you with a plan and then everybody sort of comments on it on the public meeting. And in this model, it's turned on its head. The ideas came from the people that would have been in that public meeting or really that would have not had time to attend that public meeting. So the ideas sort of came in the other direction. And that to me makes it a very unique planning process, as you mentioned.
And what role do the humanities play in Heart and Soul? Pennsylvania Humanities, how does it work with Heart and Soul?
To me, I think when you're interviewing people, like you're getting at the history. People are talking about the history that's important to them and the family connections and the culture that's important to them. And where are their sources of ideas that they're getting from it? All of that is humanities. It's humanities based. So you're really starting from this oral history part for doing your future planning.
Yeah, and Heart and Soul, as I mentioned, is a national model. So we're fortunate in Pennsylvania. PA Humanities discovered this model and said, hey, this is something that we think could be really valuable to Pennsylvania communities. It's tied into our mission, as Gus just described it. And now PA Humanities funds communities to go through this process. So, you know, we were fortunate to apply for a grant through PA Humanities so that we could bring the Heart and Soul process to Carbondale. And I think pretty forward thinking for PA Humanities to kind of look at this and say, yeah, like community planning is the humanities, right? And the way that you do it through Heart and Soul is the humanities.
And economic development, you're doing economic development through the humanities.
Which I have to say, from a government perspective, from being a past 30-year employee of the city of Carbondale as city clerk and then becoming mayor, people often confuse politics with being a party thing. Politics is a study of people. And I say all the time, we're human beings, you know, and that's all this is. And PA Humanity is human beings, and we get to be human beings with one another.
You talked about going through the process. What are some of the results? There's something in the offing we're going to experience for sure.
Well, we're all looking at each other because we're all so excited about it. So from our interviews that we did, we extrapolated six common themes from the interviews. And those six themes are now painted on the walls of the beautiful city of Carbondale as murals, and they represent the artist's interpretation of that value. So we have beautiful ones, we have fun ones, we have historic ones, we have cute ones. So, you know, we have six murals all together, and they're just breathtakingly beautiful. I love them. If I get one compliment a day, I get 10 about the murals. People love the murals. And in fact, we have a little core group of people that work on another project, and their attitude is, why are we doing this? And I said, because we're making Carbondale beautiful. And you even have those people saying now that that mural's gorgeous or that looks really great, or people stop and take pictures in front of them all the time. So it's great.
And you're going to have a celebration of them so everybody can cut ribbons or pop champagne corks?
Yeah, we're going to have an opening celebration coming up soon, September 4th, Thursday, September 4th. It starts at 5:30, where food and then speakers and then a little walking tour of each of the murals. And the artists are going to be there and they can explain the murals and sort of what inspired them to do the designs that they did. And it's really just going to be a fun party time.
And, you know, Erica, I have to tell you, as I mentioned, Italians on the west side, Irish on the east. So up north to us, or the next town over, are the Eastern, the Polish and the Slovak. We're also having a polka band with a wandering accordion player. Now you know it's a party.
So we're invited to come to the party, meet the artists, see the murals. What did you think before the painting started? How did you reach out to artists? What were the criteria?
We did a call for artists, primarily through the Lackawanna County Arts and Culture Council.
Yes.
And so we collected, we got a bunch of applications, maybe 19 in all or so. And almost all of them were local, but then some of them were from across the country or at least out of state. So California and Maryland, I remember we got two of those applications. And so we had a committee together to look through them and look through people's statements about why they want to do that, look through their body of work. And we chose six different artists that helped to contribute to make these murals.
We have to give a big shout out to Emily R. Carroll. She's one of our staff people. She works under Todd. You know, most places have a hard time executing one mural in one season. She did six murals in one season, of course, with the help of Gus and other people. But that was very aggressive and very, very, very determined. And Emily did a great job with all of that.
And how special was the site? Did the artists get to say, I can use that wall. I can use that. I can't. Oh, dear. That's a horrible surface.
We kind of had to do it the opposite way. We had to get the walls first and permission to paint on those walls first. And then actually, when we looked at the different resumes and portfolios that people have, we would say like, oh, this would be good for this theme on this wall. And that's kind of how we put the pieces together. It didn't actually turn out exactly that clean, but that was our process.
Yeah. And Eric, I have to tell you, the first mural that started going up was, we had a local businessman who wanted to do it, but then he got nervous. He was afraid to put a mural on his wall. And one of our properties, our fire department, is right next door. And so they said, would the city be interested in putting a mural on the wall? I said, sure. And it was going to be the alien mural. Now, ironically enough, our call numbers, our emergency call numbers, are Area 51. So it was again, another serendipitous thing. So the first night the artist went up and he was doing his outline on the wall. And I said to him, can we put a fire hat on the alien? And then they had a no fishing sign next to the pond. I said, can we change that into a lantern? And he was so great. He adapted as he went along. Well, then I was sitting out there at 9:30 at night watching him do this. And then I was terror stricken. I'm like, oh my God, they're all going to think I'm crazy putting a mural of an alien on the wall in the downtown. I was petrified. And then I was talking to my girlfriend the next morning. And I said, I'm nervous. I think I've gone too far. She goes, why did you want to do a mural? I said, because it's fun and I want people to be happy. She goes, is it fun? Is it happy? I said, yeah, it is. She goes, don't worry about it. You're good. From then on, I was great.
And people, well, you know, they'll seek that
yes.
one out, won't
yes.
they? Sure, the aliens are the rage.
With murals, you always want to do something that makes people think. So you always sort of want to be on that edge. You don't want to do things that the community is going to hate, the community is going to be offended by, but you also have to do something that has a little bit of an edge to it to make it interesting. And so there's always this discussion about public art, about what you present, what are the kind of values that are reflected and what's going on the wall. And so it is always a balance of trying to find what are those things that will really attract people to it, something new, something innovative, something interesting, but then also something that the community can really say, this is our own.
Yeah, I think it was really important too that, you know, when we put this call out for muralists, we knew we wanted to take our six heart and soul themes and do a mural for each of those, right? And it could have been really easy to take some of them. You know, there are things like outdoors and family-friendly environment and local businesses and tell an artist, this is what we want you to paint, right? But instead we said, no, like these are the themes. Here's a theme that we think, based on, you know, some of the work that we've seen from you would be a good one for you. and now take this and run with it and interpret that in a way that makes sense, you know. And I think the result is we've got six unique, really creative pieces of public art that are still all tied together.
Will there be more?
You know it.
I think once people see these murals, there's going to be a whole lot of other people that say, like, I want something painted on my wall. Can you do that?
Yeah, I think that's happened already. And
it has.
You know, as Gus described, that's one of the most challenging things is before you have murals, property owners are sometimes a little hesitant to say, yeah, put something up on my wall until they see it. You know, now that you see it, and I think other people are going to want some similar ones.
Still the arts. Chasen Goldschmitz of the Philharmonic was sitting in that chair, I think, not too long ago, talking about how you welcomed the Philharmonic players to the park so that young people could have an experience and get to know the instruments.
So actually, it went fantastic. They did it the day after the 4th of July. It was on a Saturday morning, July 5th, and it was great. They came into the park. And, you know, Eric, I have to say that for so long, people from Carbondale put themselves down and they thought they weren't deserving. When people found out we were bringing the Northeast Philharmonic to Carbondale, they were so impressed and thrilled and excited. So Chasen's done a great job. They had that event, and we're actually in the throes of planning another one. We're doing a candlelight orchestra in October in the park, and we're pairing it up with the restaurants. And we're able to do that through NeighborWorks and through Lackawanna County with Maureen McGuigan. We're going to do a Saturday night concert in the park where people can come out and listen to some great music, maybe have dinner beforehand, and just throw themselves into the arts and the humanities of what we are. There's so much culture in Carbondale that people don't embrace. And I myself can't wait to put my fall coat on and go for some dinner and sit in the park and listen to some music in the candlelight, no less.
Let me just ask you to weigh in again on the importance of the arts in communities, because we know the arts are being cut back as well as so many things. And this is a perfect example of how important the arts.
I want to tie it back to economic development. So part of what makes a community livable is things being walkable. You can walk to places, you can bike to places, you don't necessarily need a car. Maybe you use a car to commute, but once you land home, you know, you can go get everything you need to do within that. Part of what having arts downtown, like music or like murals, it gives you a reason to walk downtown. And in order to make a walkable place, you need your walk to be useful. You need it to be comfortable. You need it to be interesting. And so this is all of what makes a walk useful and interesting. So you have a reason then to walk to places that you necessarily wouldn't have. So I think I just want to make that connection between the arts and development, especially development of city centers. The way that they were originally designed in the first place, communities in northeastern Pennsylvania, they were meant to be self-serving for the neighborhoods around them, the communities around them. And this is helping to restore the way that our communities were originally designed.
And you know, Gus talks about having the arts in the downtown to give them the reason to go for a walk. I come from a motherly perspective. They joke all the time. They call me the mother of Carbondale. I call myself some other things, but that's beside the point. But you know, when you nurture and you love something, you dress it up, you make it look pretty. You share with it your talents. You share with it the great things. You share with the music. You show them how to do things, or you just expose them to it. And I find that that's what the arts do for Carbondale. It shows people that we love them and we want them to enjoy their life and we want them to enjoy their community and take something from that or share something with us, because we have so many talented people in Carbondale, whether it be artistic or musically. We are so blessed to have so many incredible people.
For me, I think public art, practically speaking, when you're trying to improve communities, is one of those things that's, you know, relatively easy and inexpensive to implement. And it has such a visible impact that it's a good indicator, especially early on in work, which, you know, in Carbondale we are, right? You know, we're really at the beginning of what I think is going to be decades of just some really remarkable work. You know, it's exciting to think about what Carbondale might look like 10 years from now or 20 years from now after all of this great work is done by so many great people and great organizations. But to see a mural go up on a wall, or in this case, six murals go up on six different walls, people are going to see that. They've seen that already and say, hey, something's happening here, right? So much of the work that we do is long-term. A lot of it happens behind the scenes. You know, we're writing grants, we're raising dollars. We might be making gradual improvements. You don't change communities overnight. So yeah, you might see a new restaurant pop up here. You might see, you know, a building constructed over here. You might see a park improved over 2 years, right? These things generally take a long time and people don't necessarily notice them. Public art, I think, is different. It's immediately visible. It's noticeable. It's generally well-received. You get a positive reaction to it. And it's just a real good indicator for people that something good, something different is happening here.
So give us the particulars so we can join you on the 4th.
Oh, so it's September 4th. We're going to be in downtown Carbondale at the Trout Mural, which everybody loves. We're a Class A trout stream, which is the Lackawanna River that runs right through us. The owner of the building himself is a huge fisherman. The artist took the value of people liking the outdoors, and he painted this gorgeous trout on the side of the Rite Aid building. It's a rainbow trout. Everybody talks about it. Everybody takes pictures of it. So we're staging right there. It starts at 5:30. We're going to have dinner, as we discussed, and then we'll have the polka band, the accordion player. We're going to go around town to the different sites that we have. We just want to share our downtown with everybody. And then we're wrapping up, I think, around 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we are. And if you want, we've also got a train coming.
Oh, that's right.
Steamtown National
Thanks for
Historic
reminding
site.
Us, yes.
So yeah, if you're in or around Scranton, you can hop on the train. There's going to be a special excursion that night. They'll take you right to the train station in Carbondale. We'll guide you over to the event. You can have some fun. You hop back on the train and head back.
Oh, we love trains in Carbondale. Woo-hoo!
They love trains in Carbondale, and you heard it from Mayor Michelle Bannon. Michelle Bannon, Mayor of Carbondale, Pennsylvania, with Gus Bay, President of Valley in Motion, and Todd Pusley, who is Director of Community Development at NeighborWorks, Northeastern Pennsylvania. And they have been talking about PA Heart and Soul and its connection through PA Humanities to individual lives and the community at large in Carbondale. And there will be a community-wide celebration in Carbondale on September 4th at 5:30 p.m. It will be a mural unveiling and tour. 6 new murals, as we've heard. The series of murals, based on the 6 themes that emerged from their recent Community Heart and Soul resident engagement effort. And they will start at the parking lot of the former Rite Aid, which is 50 North Main Street, and that's the Trout Mural. And then there'll be a brief program, refreshments, artist meet and greets, walking tour, and live music by John Stevens' Double Shot Trio. For more information, CarbondalePA.org, CarbondalePA.org. And if you'd like to know more about the program, PA Heart and Soul, PAHumanities.org, PAHumanities.org.